and welcome to the D&D podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to PK Red Towers, Mamba Noogie, Mysteria Legacy, and Dungeons and Dragons. I'm not sure where David is. I'm 10 minutes late. I just got off work. And David tried calling me a couple of minutes ago. I don't know what was up, but I was trying to finish my paperwork so that I could call into the podcast. But I assumed he was already on the podcast, but I guess not. I'm tired, too, so this ain't going to be a very long podcast. Yeah. What to talk about? First off, I'm going to announce, even though we don't have a whole lot of listeners anyways, and nobody's going to call in, probably. We have a caller probably once a quarter, if we're lucky. But I guess we have, you know, at least a dozen listeners. Or a couple dozen. Sometimes we get like 30 likes. Sometimes we get like 15 likes. Sometimes we only get one or two. So our listenership is kind of random. But we have at least, I think, a dozen listeners. At any given time. So, the announcement is that because of my job, I'm working in the oil field, and my hours are crazy, and blah, blah, blah. We are basically merging both podcasts into Sunday evenings. That and, you know, we're both single, looking for mates, although David's not as, I don't know what the right words are. But Saturday night, I should be out on the town if I'm not working, you know, looking for a mate or whatever, enjoying myself instead of being on a podcast. So, I mean, if we had a lot more listeners, I think that might be an exception. But seeing as we don't have a lot of listeners and we don't have hardly any callers, we're moving both podcasts to Sunday, so 7 o'clock p.m. Or after church, whatever time that is, if you're going to church on a Sunday evening, call into the podcast, and we're doing our Scrap Go Scrap podcast at that time. Then around 9 p.m. Central Time, we will do, you know, before or after or around 9 o'clock, we'll hang up from the podcast. I did a test trial a few days ago, by pausing, or not pausing, but stopping the recording by doing the star code, because the admins have different star codes in order to control the podcast. You guys have a star code too, but there's only one star code, and that's to mute your line or not, and that's star 6. But we have star codes that we can do that does different, has different controls and features. And so I tried doing the star code to stop the recording, and I waited like 3 minutes, and then I started the recording again, and it basically just picked up where I left off. So we're going to have to hang up from the podcast, wait probably at least 5 minutes, and then call back in. Tonight, after this podcast, I'm going to hang up, call back in, and do a test, say 5 minutes, and then do a test to see if 5 minutes is long enough. If not, if not, then tomorrow, after our Scrap Go Scrap podcast, I'll hang up and wait 10 minutes. And then call back in and see if that's long enough of a gap in order to do the podcast, separate podcast recording. The other option is we can, oh no, we can't do that because I can only upload like 3 hours at a time. The only other option is to have a short, brief, 1 hour podcast or Scrap Go Scrap at 7-ish. And then go into our DD&D podcast, but not all our DD&D, and then just have it all one recording. But not all of our DD&D listeners want to listen to the politics, or anti-politics for that matter. And not all our political listeners or anti-political listeners will want to listen to the DD&D podcast. But I'd like to keep them separate. I have notes. But I'm driving right now. I'll be driving for a couple minutes. A few minutes. Once I get parked, I'll go over my notes. In the meantime, check out our disclaimer. We're not man animals, man or other animals. If you check out the FDA codes, FDA's codes, they basically classify us as animals. And we don't identify ourselves as animals. You might, but, you know, hey, if you believe you came from a monkey or an ape, then you might be an animal. I don't believe I came from an ape, therefore I don't believe I'm an animal. So if you are an animal, then those FDA rules, regulations, standards, codes, and guidelines might apply to you. But they don't apply to us. So that's part of our disclaimer. Check out the FDA. Check out the FDA regulations. You can Google man or other animals. What I Googled was man and or other animals, and it brings up all kinds of stuff. So Google that. Check it out. Basically, this is all hearsay evidence. Anything heard on this podcast is basically just our experience and knowledge that we've done our homework on. But for you, it's hearsay evidence. And according to, you know, the court system, they don't accept hearsay evidence. So, it's, you know, whatever. Basically, like I used to tell my ex whenever I enter in lies, and if she didn't have any evidence to prove that she was telling the truth, I said, if you go in front of a judge and you don't have any proof, the judge is going to say, it didn't happen. You know, whatever the proof is what happened. So, you don't have any proof of what we have to say, our experience, our knowledge, our research. You don't know any of that to be true. So we tell you to go do your own homework. Anything we say on this podcast, go, or even go Scrap Podcast, go and do your own homework, because you don't know what we say is true or not true. And you should do that with anybody. Politics, religion, school, which is kind of, well, they're all three pretty much the same thing.
Nah, that's bullshit. Trust everybody.
Trust everybody, especially if their name is Trump.
Yeah, Kano Trump.
Yes. Kano Trump. He is like the most honest, knowledgeable person on the face of the earth. He's like, what was that guy's name in the Bible that knew everything?
Nobody.
Well, not Jesus, but the other guy. Not Job. Who was the guy? Not Herod. The guy who suggested chopping the baby in half.
Oh, Solomon.
Solomon!
He didn't know everything. He was just wise.
There you go. That's Kano Trump.
Yeah. Well, if that's Kano Trump, we're in trouble.
Uh, No, yeah. So welcome to the DD&D podcast.
Yeah.
What's that game you play, Mamba Noogie?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found out my youngest still plays it.
Did you find him on the game?
No, I found his Facebook page.
Oh, cool.
He plays another game by the same company called Vindicus. And he listed a new one that is both computer and mobile. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet. So
there you go.
I might take a look at it. Oh my. So
yeah, my
I
oldest
called
son.
In.
Go ahead.
I called in at 9:05. And I did it as the quiet host, so I had to hang up, and I was going to call in again. So I checked on you real quick. You texted me saying, yeah, I was busy doing paperwork when you called me. Anyway, so then I spent the next 15, 20 minutes trying to call in.
Nice. It's only been 10 minutes.
Has it? Well, it's 9:22 now.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, because I originally tried to call in at 9:05. I was late. Bill and Shirley got home. And so I was down there listening to John and Bill talk and showing off their new kitten and all that neat stuff. So,
oh, I got dogs.
You got dogs.
Yeah.
Real
well, I had
dogs.
I had four of them, but then two of them got killed by the chaos. They penetrated our farm, and I couldn't get my dogs out of there in time. He killed one. I was trying to get my dogs out of there, but before I can get my dogs out of there, he killed another one.
Bastards.
I know. I don't know how I got on our farm.
You have to go kill their dogs now.
Well, that was a chaos. It's a computer-generated bot that goes around destroying people's stuff. And if you don't kill him while it's lower level, it gets really powerful, and then only a few people in the game can actually take him out.
Right.
And they gain power fast because they're bots. They know all the right things to do.
They've been programmed to destroy.
Basically, they don't build forts or anything like that. They just go around and pillage and plunder.
All right.
Kind of
like on
PK, where you say, monsters are attacking your flags.
No, it doesn't say that. It says, Kano's attacking your flags.
I said PK, not RT.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, Red Tower says, Kano's attacking your flags. What are you going to do about it? Nothing.
Nothing. Kano's more powerful than I am.
Well, besides, I don't care about the path you're destroying.
That and PvP's not been applied to the game yet, so we can't fight each other.
Yeah, that too. Yep. Honestly, I don't even know if you're in my enemy as a result or not.
No. We're still friends.
Yeah. If not, I'll just... Whatever.
Whatever.
Well, that's not... What's going on here? Okay.
Alright, so I got a question for you. Well, first, yeah. I posted this deal on Facebook that says, you know what's creepy?
People who ask that question?
No. I said, you know what's creepy?
Okay.
Then I said, what used to be considered romantic?
Right.
Then I said, ... Nowadays, the opposite is considered attractive.
And you've lost me.
Well, you know, it doesn't take much.
Yeah, you're going to have to explain in detail.
All right. Do you know what's creepy? What used to be considered romantic.
Okay, you're going to have to explain what used to be considered romantic.
Well, that's a long, drawn-out story. But, I mean, a lot of things that guys
hanging out the girl underneath the girl's window and throwing little pebbles at it.
That would be considered creepy.
Yeah, that used to be considered romantic.
Right.
It's like, oh, he really likes me. He stayed up after dark just to throw pebbles at my window.
And serenade me outside my window.
No, that'd get her in trouble.
Right. But he'd climb
out
into the tree and talk to her from the tree if she had one. If the parents weren't very smart.
Yeah. Oh, that'll protect her daughter. Nobody'll see her through the window because there's a tree in the way.
So, yeah, that's one thing. Let's see, what else?
Hey, Honey Bunch, did you hear that bear in your tree last night? I put a whole bunch of rock salt into it. You should have heard it scream. It sounded just like a little girl.
Right? But, I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Women are weird.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, yeah, the women are weird. That's it.
So anyways, I don't know.
It's not the human race. It's not guys are
well,
weird.
That's true too. And a lot of it's programming. We got all this stuff on TV and the radio for that matter. That they're portraying these bad, you know, bad behaviors are cool. And then therefore if they think you're cool, then they find them attractive.
Right. Yeah, yeah. What you see a lot of, you accept as appropriate behavior. And
right.
And the whole purpose of TV is to titillate you, which means they're going to show you unusual behavior because, you know, you're not you're not going to be excited to see normal behavior.
Right.
You know? Even Leave It to Beaver showed unusual behavior.
Yeah, back in the day, whatever was acceptable.
Yeah, they showed unusual behavior because it's like, oh, what kind of weird stuff are they up to today? Let's see. All right? And, you know, they don't have shows of people just sitting at the dining room table and eating politely.
That would be boring.
Yeah. Actually, that might just be weird enough now that it might not be.
I know.
It's like, whoa, you got to watch this show. Why? Because all they do is be polite with each other. Are you kidding me? How can they pull that off? Yeah, watch it and you see. It's totally unreal.
True.
Yeah.
That would be funny.
Especially if you got high ratings, it'd be really funny.
Right?
All right, I predicted it first, folks. There's going to be a totally awesomely boring show that's going to come on, and people are going to get excited about it because people are going to act normal and behave themselves in this show.
Yeah, that probably won't happen until we're dead and gone.
Some would say we are already, so... Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that
Yeah, I
was.
Thought I might. What?
Oh, I got my show notes on Discord so that I can, use them on the show. And, well, if my internet goes away, then Discord blanks out.
True. That's why I make my notes in my phone with the notepad.
Yeah, it's probably the better way.
And then I can share them via text.
Yeah. Just don't.
Okay, let's see here.
Just don't do the Jerry thing.
Oh, God.
Talking which, Jerry contacted me not too long ago. Oh, God. Anyway, he contacted me not too long ago. He wanted to know what the plant with the fern-like leaves were that chased off ticks and fleas. And for the life of me, I couldn't think of what he was talking about. And so I suggested...
Oh, well, you're talking about yarrow.
How did you figure that out?
Because I'm smarter than you are.
Apparently. Anyway, yarrow is good for your arteries and veins and general heart health. And helps encourage blood coagulation when you're bleeding. All right? So if you're somebody who's taking blood thinners and stuff like that, do not drink yarrow tea because it will defeat the purpose of your blood thinners.
Oh, yeah. And also, if you turmeric is a blood thinner. I just found that out.
Is it?
Yep.
Well, then do turmeric. But I bet you both of those are... I forget what the term is. A lot of your herbs, they help you achieve a balance.
Yeah.
And so while yarrow will help your blood coagulate, it won't cause your blood to coagulate in the bloodstream when you don't need it to. But it will. If you got a major wound, you grab a bunch of yarrow and crumple it up and shove it into the bleeding wound, and next thing you know, that wound stops bleeding, or at least slows
right.
down.
Right, if you're eating it, it won't coagulate until after it comes outside the body and hits the air.
Yeah, basically. It helps it do it in the proper process. And there's lots of nutrients like that you get from nature where if you're supposed to be maintaining sugar levels or you're overweight, chickweed will not make you anorexic, but it sure as heck will help you lose weight. That's right. All you potato hogs out there, you should be eating tons of chickweed and it'll turn you into chicks.
Tater hogs. Hey, that'd be kind of like kissing the frog and turning it into a prince.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe I should go out and find me a tater hog and shove lots of chickweed down her throat.
Just flip it into her food.
a little bit at a time till she's eating 100%.
Well, at least enough of it, yeah.
Yeah, talking of which, I need to find me. I need to encourage a really good patch of that stuff to grow. I don't really know what conditions it likes. I know that you can often find it under, you know, in the undergrowth, under trees, along stream beds and stuff like that. It'll often grow real good in those areas, but not always. And
look at Brian's place. Where does it grow there? It grows in his garden.
It does. It does. But he brings in, I don't want to create our soil the way he does. He claims he gets it from the Amish, but some of the crap I found in it, in his soil, I figured out where he's getting it. He's getting it from El Dorado Springs. He's getting it from the yard waste stuff where they put in everything.
Including but not limited to the kitchen sink.
Yeah. Syringes, motor oil, strange containers of this, that, and the other, kids' toys.
Oh, but that's good for you.
He used to say he got it from the Amish, and I think if you asked him, he'd still say that he's getting it from the Amish. But I just found way too many weird things, you know. There's no way. There was the Amish, you know. I can understand if I'm finding, you know, bridle bits and things like that in it. And maybe some toys, because, you know, I'm sure they buy their kids those little plastic toys and stuff.
Wait a minute. Maybe he is getting it from the Amish.
Yeah, they're going down to Edo and loading up their wagons with it and bringing it to him.
Yeah.
You mean like that guy over by Kingsville who got all of his produce from the Amish? And when I met him, yeah, he was getting it from Amos Beachy, who buys it from Associated Grocers.
But he buys the rejects.
He buys all Associated Grocers rejects. He's Amish. Amos Beachy is Amish. And this guy came down. He was buying the vegetables from Amos Beachy.
When he could have went to the grocery store and got it fresh.
Well, yeah, but he could. But by buying truckloads of it, he could get it from Amos Beachy cheaper, much cheaper.
And then he could turn around and sell it as Amish.
Yeah, he could sell it as Amish, and that's also the excuse for why it's semi-blemished and stuff like that, because it's grown under natural conditions, as far as you know. He doesn't explain all that. He just says, you know, you ask him where he gets all his vegetables, and it's like, oh, I get it from the Amish.
Right.
And so you fill in all the details yourself.
Right. Well, yeah, if you assume the Amish are like organic farmers.
Yeah, bullshit. Honestly, and unless I really knew the Amish man that I was buying my vegetables from, some of them grow it in their own shit, in their own backyards, where their toilet flows out into the backyard. No cistern, no leach field, nothing. It just, out it goes, right into the backyard. Their animals eat it. They plant the gardens in it. And, you know.
It's disgusting.
It's you know, it's kind of smart. Don't have to water their garden. But you really should ferment that stuff a bit longer before you use it on your garden.
Yeah, just a little.
You know, give it a year or two.
no, I was thinking like maybe a month or two.
Actually, it is a number of months. I forget the exact amount, but it is a number of months. And I suppose if you did some put some effort into it, it could probably be as little as 18 days, if you put some effort into it. But that's, you know, that's aerobic composting that I'm talking about, and that wouldn't be, unless you're making lots and lots and lots of compost, it wouldn't be enough to process a family's manure.
Family manure.
Because, you know, in 18 days, I think you'd have more manure, human manure, than you could use in one of my compost heaps. So you'd have to be starting a new one practically every day. And that'd be a bit much.
A bit.
Yep. I could just see somebody like me out there flipping one of those heaps, 18 of them a day.
That's what bulldozers are for.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. They're Amish. They don't have bulldozers. Oh, wait. Yeah, they do. They got cell phones, too, don't they? Oh, no, that's the Mennonites. The Mennonites have the cell phones, but the Amish use them.
Oh, yeah. Amish often know how to use a cell phone better than you, who supposedly should know how to use it because you, quote-unquote, own one. Whereas those people who don't own them at all, they seem to know everything there is about a cell phone.
So. Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, they're like everybody else. For whatever reason, their religion puts up barriers against what they can and cannot use and have and own. And somebody put it to them, well, if it's all right for you to ride in a car as long as you don't, quote unquote, own it. Oh, you can own a car. Okay, fine. All right, as long as you're not driving it, it's okay for you to ride in one. Well, why don't you hire somebody to stand next to the wall and flip the light switch for you?
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Just saying. Yeah, the Amish and the Mennonites, they are just like everybody else. The majority of them just go along to get along. But there are some who are actually interested in their health, and they're interested in the actual welfare of their community and stuff like that. And it's kind of, you know, if you question the Amish, in general, questioning them, they're all going to respond appropriately. It's going to look like they're all of this opinion, you know, that, yeah, we should live good, healthy lives and blah, 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 blah. But as one of my friends pointed out, when he's on a work crew with the Amish, he hears some of the foulest comments concerning women and stuff like that. You know, he found it shocking. And this is a guy who's been trying to be Amish forever, and they haven't let him in. It's like, probably because he's too good.
Right.
But, yeah, they'll let him drive for him. As long as he's wearing out his own vehicle and doing it cheap, they'll let him drive for them. But... yeah, I look at it. It's hypocrisy on their leader's part to say you shouldn't be using this. I think Scripture even covered this. I mean, they're supposed to not work on the Sabbath. But even way back, they would hire people to do basic things like even lighting a fire so that they're not lighting a fire on the Sabbath. It's like, well, how did you pay this man for that effort? Oh, okay. So wasn't that labor that you had exchanged for that money? So basically that you're expending labor on the Sabbath? You know? So if that's an important thing to you, isn't that kind of hypocritical? You know?
Just a little.
Yeah. So hiring somebody to drive you around, that's, you know, same difference as actually owning the vehicle and driving yourself. Dumber even. Because, you know, even if you're cheap about how much you pay the person, you're still spending more money than if you had your own vehicle. But, hey, who am I to say? They actually get pretty darn rich doing it their way. So, well, that's disappointing. I have a nice little diatribe that I posted up on the Discord app. And I wanted to talk about it.
What's a diatribe?
Let me Google that. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't have my dictionary handy. I don't know if I'm using the word right or not.
Well, I found out something about feverfew today.
About what?
The herb called feverfew.
Yeah, okay.
Well, basically, typically, it's known for migraines and, of course, fevers.
Yes.
But
I didn't know about migraines, but...
Yeah, well, that's why I call it feverfew. It's good for breaking fevers.
Right. I knew about the fever part. I didn't know about the migraines.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's great for migraines. People who have reoccurring migraines, it's really, really good for that. Well,
when I discovered water, one of the things I discovered about it is drinking plenty of water can actually reduce migraines. And when I successfully got my ex to drink lots of water, her migraines went away, but she would not stay with it.
Right. Well, some people just like to complain, or they like attention. Like my first wife, she was what they call a hypochondriac. And basically, she would make herself sick because she wanted attention.
Hypochondriacs. I'm going to have to listen to the recording because I like the way you said it and I couldn't repeat it.
Hypochondriacs.
Yeah, that's the right way. And that may be the way you said it the first time, but it sounded a little different the first time.
Hypochondriac or hyperchondriac?
I think either are acceptable pronunciations.
I probably said hypochondriac.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to listen to the recording. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail and has nothing to do with the subject.
Yes, it does.
Not really.
Okay, so anyways, feverfew. Every woman should be taking it.
That and fenugreek.
Yes. It's basically good for, like, a ton of feminine problems. Menstrual problems. It's good for hot flashes. It's good for, I forgot what else it's good for. I read a whole bunch of stuff on it today. But basically, most everything that I read
was feminine related.
There you go.
So, you know, I just can't remember the rest of the stuff. But those are like the key points that I remember. So it's not just good for headaches. It's not just good for fevers. It's good for a lot of the other things that women complain about or that men complain about women.
Right. And of course, I threw in fenugreek because, you know, I'm sexist. Actually, if you plan on having babies and breastfeeding them, fenugreek's good for that. It increases breast size and milk production. So.
Increases breast size? I'm going to remember that.
Yep, increases breast size and milk production.
And I'm worried about milk production.
If you want children, you are, but I know you don't want children, so.
No.
Anyway. But it's something that I should feed to the goats when they're getting fat, about to have babies, because it makes them healthier.
Can we grow it on the land?
Yeah, we can grow it.
We can grow it everywhere.
Yep, that's true. We can grow it everywhere. Let all of our animals eat it.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. It'd be good for all the animals.
Yep. Wow. So, like, I made a million staples yesterday. And I was out in the garden installing cardboard and stapling it to the ground to kill grass where I plan on planting more slips and to expose the slips I've planted to more sunlight. I have a feeling I'm not going to have any more maple leaves after this year. I'm going to try, but they don't compete well with the grass. Their leaves are not made for lots of production.
It's a root crop.
Well, yeah, but it still needs to have lots of leaves, a lot of big, long vines all over the place in order to put energy into those roots. The more energy it puts into the roots, the more roots it has, more tubers it produces. So if the stems don't grow any and don't produce big clumps of leaves that block out all the light from all the other plants, then it's just not going to make it. And I'm not sure what I planted, whether it'd be collards or anyway, it's something in the mustard family that I planted with one of my rows. That was a bad idea. The spinach was an okay idea. The lettuce seems to be the best. Planting lettuce helped block out the grass, but the vines had absolutely no trouble competing with the lettuce.
So there you go.
Fine with the lettuce. And lettuce, even if you don't harvest it, it improves the soil. The leaves die and mat down nicely, and so I'm sure by the time the lettuce goes to seed, the vines will spread far enough that they won't care that the lettuce is getting tall. So,
why don't you put fescue on it?
That's a grass, and it's probably what I'm already fighting with.
But I thought that was great for composting.
Right. But the seeds in the, even in the whatever is the fescue husk, still have lots of seed in it.
Yeah, I know. So, but that's in my podcast notes. Fescue and seed husk, or any kind of husk for that matter.
Oh, yeah. And my experiments with sawdust this year. for the first year, not a good idea. Maybe next year will be a great idea, but right now, this year, the 10x10 plot I made is absolutely weed-free. Provided you call every green plant on the planet a weed. In other words, no weeds grew, and nothing I planted grew either.
Oh, nice. How's the blackberries doing?
The deer are eating them. Whenever I get there, they've been et, but they are producing.
Better than last year?
Yes, there's more growth, and they're producing a month early. So
cool.
As they said. And it's beautiful. Four or five of those is a handful of blackberries.
Yeah.
You might be able to fit 10 in your hand if you really try.
You might be able to fit 5 in your face.
Oh, I'm sure I could fit 10 in my face, too. I might have a purple mustache, but...
You might choke.
I wouldn't be able to talk for a little while, at least. All you hear is me going,
They are good. What's her face was talking about going over to Bill and Shirley's the other day and eating the blackberries. So I was like, oh yeah, I can't wait to come home.
Yep. Oh, and the wild blackberries. Oh, they are tasty. And they are fruiting all over the place.
So the wild ones are about ready too, eh?
The wild ones, yeah, half of them are fruited already. So
that means I got to get out and go foraging. I thought about doing it today, and then I got called into work.
Well, you know, different areas, different times. Our land is consistently 2 weeks behind Bill and Shirley's.
I'm further south, so they should be ready here.
Right. Well, you have to check your areas, microclimates. There's this thing called microclimates.
All right. And I'm also kind of in a desert area, so... I haven't really seen any out here. I got to go out towards McAllister. Basically, I have to go east in order to find a lot of that stuff.
Yep.
It's desert over here, so it sucks for foraging. Good stuff, but I don't know what they are.
I don't suppose you've had time to go check out the windmill place either, have you?
No.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd kind of like to check him out. I'm, you know, if we're going to get new ones, it'll cost, from what I'm seeing, it might cost about 6 times as much. I'm not sure. Maybe 3 times as much as getting it from him. I'm not sure exactly what he's selling. I think all he's selling is the blades and the motor. You know, and of course the rod that goes up and down. We still need to come up with the actual pump and the tower. So, anyway. And I'll take a field trip out to the Amish, and ask them. Say, hey, that windmill you got there, how tall is it? Yeah, why'd you build it so tall? Cool. So where would I order one of those from? Cool. And do you know if anybody would help me install it?
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. I could ask the Amish Mennonites around us, but they drive cars and use pumps. You know, as in electric. They have electricity going to their houses. Even though they call themselves...
They probably got the solar pumps.
Yeah, they're no, they use actual electricity.
Oh, from
off the grid. Yeah, off the grid.
You mean on the grid?
Yeah, they're on grid. They get their electricity off of the grid, so they're on the grid.
Yeah. Yeah. The Amish are off-grid. The Mennonites are on the grid.
Yeah, and these are Amish Mennonites. And I guess all that means is that they're allowed to drive cars as long as they're pure black. And some of them took it literally, because I've seen that some of their cars are tinted windows. You can barely see that it's an Amish man and woman sitting in the car.
Right.
And they drive 90 miles per hour down 39 every day, twice a day.
Oh, no, that's the Amish Mafia.
Yeah, that's what they look like. Vroom, 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 vroom. About 15, 20 cars all in a group heading down toward their school. And then they all come, well, they don't all come back. I guess they scatter from there. But when it's time for them to get out of school, zoom, 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 zoom. So, yeah, you can all
hearse
walk by.
One hearse after another.
Black Broncos, black sedans, black. they have some pretty nice looking vehicles. They're just black.
Right.
And it's, you know, I haven't seen any black pickups yet, but you know, it's, and they're bright and shiny.
Bronco.
And, yeah, Broncos serve like a pickup, but it's permanently covered. It's kind of a cross between a pickup and a van.
It's like an SUV.
Yeah. Yeah. I use those terms interchangeably. I know Bronco's a brand. SUV is probably a brand too, but it's like plexiglass. It's a brand. But even if it's not plexiglass, people call it plexiglass. Yeah, go buy a sheet of that clear plastic stuff. That clear acrylic plastic. You mean plexiglass? Yeah, that stuff. But it doesn't have to be that brand.
Right.
Well, this blows. I had beautiful show notes.
Show notes! So, yeah, fescue. Right. Or any kind of, you know, biodegradable matter. Just basically make a big pile or make a big mound and keep adding to it across your land. And then once it breaks down, say, in the next year or two, then you start digging it up. But you start at the end that you started building your pile. And you just keep going around and around and around and around.
Or better still, you make a swale and dump the stuff in the swale, and then it'll soak. Then it'll make compost tea that soaks into the ground.
And the cats will drink it.
The cats will drink it. God. Yeah. Oh, I made this compost tea on our land. Made it so thick that it developed a 3-inch crust on top. It was pretty hard. You had to break it in order to get the fluid from underneath it. I mean, it was literally liquid manure underneath that crust. The cats, every time I went to use it, the cats would jump up on the barrel and stand on the crust and lap up all the fluids that was coming up through the cracks.
Oh, yeah. They loved it.
I mean, like, are you serious?
We love poop water. We love poop water. Poop water. Poop water. Poop, 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 poop water.
All right. So agenda 31. I got this beautiful podcast on how they made their own
poop water.
Yeah, their own poop water. Their own common law IDs. All right. And they did a few things to make things a little difficult for them, but they also did some things to make it easy. All right. And one of the things they did is they came up, you know, they made their own ID numbers. All right. They just came up with a formula. You know, they came up with a way of doing that. Usually they just use the initials of their name and the date. You know, the date the document was created. Just ran all the numbers together. All right. And, you know, that made things easier for whoever was copying it down. All right. But some things they did made it more difficult. One of the guys, he put his weight in stones and pounds. Use the abbreviation ST. All right. So
street.
Yeah, ST for stone. So I don't know how much I weigh right now, but last time I weighed myself, I was 220 pounds. All right.
So 220 streets.
That would convert to 15 stone, 10 pounds.
Oh, right. 15 streets.
Yeah. Yeah, so 15 stone and 10 pounds. And so, you know, they made these IDs that had this, and they're getting accepted, you know. But the poor security guard has to enter the information into his book or whatever, and or the police officer who wants to see your ID. You know, it's like, or they show up in court. They don't give a date of birth, right? First off, well, this is something I have to look up thoroughly, but basically, your birth certificate is a receipt. It's a document showing ownership. And you know, that's what it boils down to. You don't need a birth certificate to be born. I mean, people were born for centuries, for millennia. And they, you know, they successfully did it without documentation. Can you imagine that?
Never. You know what I'm going to do my weights and measures in?
Okay, what are you going to do it in?
CRY.
CRY. What's CRY?
Crayola.
Crayola. I am so many crayons tall, and I weigh so many thousands of crayons. Now, where are you going to find the standard crayon measurement?
From Crayola. They're standard Crayola crowns.
Right. But do the blue ones weigh more than the red ones?
Well, I don't know. I'll have to find out.
Yeah, yeah. How many packets are you going to have to buy in order to compare the weight of blue ones versus, you know? And will all the blue ones weigh the same? You know? If you carefully balance two blue ones against each other, will one be slightly heavier than the other?
Kind of like stones.
Well, stone is a standard measurement. It's just not in use nowadays.
I understand that, but...
Yeah. But, you know, my other thought was to give my height links.
But if links. I start using crowns as a standard measurement, then it could become a standard measurement. I'm sure my kids would enjoy it.
I live in Crayola-topia.
No, I live in Legoland.
You live in Legoland, where the standard unit of measurement is crayon.
Yes.
And you've been using that ever since Legoland broke away from Papertopia.
Yeah, I think Disney owns it now.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. So, anyway. But, you know, some of the stuff they do makes it difficult for them. Some of the things they do, it's for their convenience. Because, you know, and this issue hasn't, I haven't really resolved this issue to my satisfaction or not. All right. But the courts do some weird things, and they don't tell you what's going on. They make you feel silly for even questioning it. And, you know, they tell you you need to get a lawyer if you, you know, if you don't know the answer to this, that, or the other. And if you get a lawyer, the lawyer will not answer that question anyway. The lawyer will belittle you for even asking it. So you don't need a lawyer, because the lawyer who you hired is not going to do his job.
Yeah, he is.
Well, yeah, he's going to do it for his real employer, the very judge who told you you needed to go get one.
Right.
But
he's going to do his job. He's not going to do your job.
Here's the fact about IDs. All right. God gave you an ID at birth, and it updates itself every day.
It's called astrology.
Every minute. Well, no, it's called your face. It's called you. All
well,
right?
The astrology changes every minute too, though.
Well, yeah, that's fine. But the ID he gave you was you, your body. You know, you carry it with you everywhere you go. You can't deny it.
That's not good enough. Come on.
All right. So these governments of the world, they come along and they said, no. We have to give you this piece of clay with these letters stamped into it, and then we'll bake it. And when you go to collect your Corbin, your share of the Corbin, you need to present this thing so that we can give you the free bread and circuses, you know.
What if you lose it?
Then you have to go and get another one issued to you, and they have methods of looking you up and verifying you are who you said you are, and et cetera, et cetera. Even way back before Jesus, they had all this crap. Social Security is not new. It's been with us forever. Heck, I'm sure that Cain came up with a Social Security plan way back when. If he didn't, he wouldn't have been able to make the nation states that he made way back when.
Was he the first dictator?
Pretty much.
The first documented dictator?
Yeah, the first documented dictator. Well, that depends on whose documentation you go with. Before him would have been the Anunnaki.
Oh, right.
Who
we don't believe in those guys.
Yeah, well, yeah. If you don't believe in aliens, then you don't believe in the Anunnaki. All right, but it's awful strange.
Oh, I believe in aliens. I just don't believe in those weirdos.
Yeah, well, okay.
They came from monkeys.
Well.
Yeah. Anunnaki, Anamonkey.
Yeah. If you take the time to read the original tablets written by the first written history that we have on this planet, and there's lots of it because they put it in clay and lots of it went through the fire, either on purpose or accidentally. And so a lot of it's been preserved. I mean, stone lasts a long time, you know.
Right.
you know, we have a pretty clear record of the first languages used on this planet. And we have a huge record of all the stuff they wrote. You know, more of it than anything to follow.
Right.
When they started writing on papyrus, documentation started to get lost. You know?
Kind of like digital?
Yes. Digital is even more ephemeral than paper.
I know, right? Yeah. Everybody's got to go paperless these days, though. Oh, you're not paperless. You're bad. You're evil.
Well, you know, I do a lot of my stuff paperless, but, and because it's convenient, But it's awful inconvenient when the battery on my phone dies and I can't get a replacement battery. And there's a lot of stuff on that phone that I've been collecting.
That, or you don't have internet to access your paperless stuff.
Well, I'm one of these paranoid types that I don't leave it on the internet except for my show notes.
Exactly. That's what I was talking about. Yeah, I paper trail everything I possibly can.
Yeah. Anyway.
Because I know how reliable the computer is.
We've gotten a long way from some point that I was trying to make, and it's like, oh, well.
Weights and measures.
Weights and measures. Oh, well, the ID thing. Right?
Right.
So the weights and measures. All right, so this one guy, he uses stones and pounds. All right? There's 14 pounds in one stone. But you don't need to tell them that. And even if you did, if they sit there and do the math and convert and say, oh, okay, so you're 15 stone, that's 210 pounds. And how many pounds more than that? Okay, so you're 218 pounds. Got it. Well, that's not on the document that you gave them. They made it up. All right? You know, so when you're questioned, you know, you can give the judge a hard time. It's like, you know, another thing I was looking at is, you know, just how much of a hard time do I want to give them? Eye color. All right? Basically, blue, green, or brown is what most people put down, right? But, you know, there's at least 7 shades of brown, at least 6 shades of green, and another 7 shades of blue. All right?
Yeah, next time I go into the driver's license place, I'm going to say my eye color is emerald.
Yeah. In the green, there's everything from chartreuse to, I'd say, emerald's about the brightest. Green.
I'm going to tell them it's shark tooth.
Shark tooth. Yeah.
That's what you just said, right? Shark tooth green, that's the darkest?
Chartreuse. It's kind of a greenish tan. All right. Emerald green and bottle green are about as green as you can get. Sea green is halfway between blue and green.
There you go. I'm going to tell them I got seaweed eyes.
Yeah.
No, they're probably more emerald.
Basically, as far as eye color goes, there's only really 2 eye colors. It's either brown or blue, or some blend halfway in between that.
50 shades of blue.
Yeah, from what I understand, green is the result of blue eyes in the presence of high sulfur content. So everybody with blue eyes has the potential to have green eyes just by drinking sulfur water, lots of it. So
green means I got plenty of sulfur?
Are you green-eyed?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah. And I don't know that to be fact. That's just something I read. You know. But, yeah, there's basically 2 things that cause eye pigment. And basically it's either you got a lot of melanin in your eyes, which gives it brown color, or you don't, which gives you blue color. So.
I got melanin in my skin, but not my eyes.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, if you're blue-eyed, you don't have melanin in your eyes. So.
I'm not blue-eyed, I'm emerald.
Yeah. Anyway. But
I'm 50 shades of green.
Yeah, and in the process of looking that up, you know, because when I document my eye color, one of the things I want to do is document my actual eye color. And they're going to be looking for brown, green, or blue. Well, in the process of looking it up, I found out there's actually people who have violet eyes. There's people who have red eyes. Gray. There's actual gray. These are very
rare. They got good eyes, too.
Yeah.
Good eyes, mate.
Good eyes. Yep. But, you know, instead of writing down redhead, blonde, or red or whatever, identify the exact color.
Well, wait a minute. I've got like 5 different colors in my hair.
Right. Well, you know, if you look at your eyes, you've got probably a dozen different colors in each, you know, in your eyes too.
True.
They have a blend to them.
Each strand, with the exception of the grays, have at least 3 colors in them.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the things I ran across is when you're writing a book and you're describing somebody, you don't say so-and-so had brown eyes. You say they had ebony eyes, you know, which would mean their eyes were black. Or you say their eyes were the color of chocolate.
I was going to say charcoal.
I believe they might actually have that in here. Coal, not charcoal, coal.
That would be Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah. Let's see, you know, descriptions for green. Bottle green, cat's eye, chartreuse.
Blue. I like those.
Emerald, forest, jade.
I'm not actually sure what shade of green my eyes are, and I'm sure it changes.
Yeah, that's true, too. You know, eye color can change over time. So, but, you know, purposely take pictures of your eye and compare them to color charts and use that for your description. Same thing with your hair. Take sample pictures of your hair under various conditions and compare that against, you know, go to your favorite distributor of paint and grab their color swatches and compare it to your hair and eye color till you find the color that best matches. And then when you're making up your own common law ID, you know, use that for the color and let them figure out. So instead of saying you're blonde, yeah, my hair is brass.
My hair is golden nugget.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
Okay, this is a rabbit hole, but there's people that can look at your eyes and basically give you a reading, kind of like astrology. What is that called?
All right. Actually, there's a reason for doing that for health. And I should know that off the top of my head. Iridology?
Okay. Something like that.
I know I spelled it very badly, but let's see what Google can give me.
Google can give you more government and more government's problems to solutions created by the government. Oh, wait, that's tomorrow's podcast.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't have any internet. You're going to have to look it up.
Working on it.
Yeah, I actually have some books on that subject. And what it boils down to is just about anything that happens to your body shows up in the lines and stripes in your eye.
Now, I Googled the wrong word. I looked up eye astrology, and it's actually giving me different There's actually I astrology. I was like, whoa, what? Okay. What do you call it?
Iridology or iris? I don't know.
You know, iridology.
Starting with an I. I-R-I, like iris.
Yeah. Iridology. D-O-L-O-G-Y.
Did you find something?
Yes.
That's a correct eye chart.
Yep.
Wow. I had it right and I wasn't sure.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, the iridology is kind of like medical astrology, except they look at your eyes and they can see, you know, all kinds of stuff. But some people can actually look at your eyes and not just do medical iridology. They do other iridology, too. I knew one guy, he had somebody read his eyes, and it was basically like giving him an astrology reading off of his eyes. And it was really weird, and he said they were accurate.
Yeah, well, you know, your history would be recorded there.
Oh, okay.
You know, for one, you know, the marks of chicken pox, even if you got over it, would never really go away. There'd be evidence of healing, but, you know, it'd still show up that you had that condition at one point.
Right.
Okay. Well, this is really annoying.
Okay, back to the show notes.
Yeah.
Are you done with the...
Well, more or less. I mean, basically, you make your own ID because who are they to tell you that you even have to have one? But if you don't have an ID, it's a big inconvenience for a lot of people, you know, because they don't know what to do. And so some of the ins and outs that they found is some basic things you need to have on your ID for their convenience is a photo of you, your name, and, you know, you might disagree with them whether you have a first, middle, or last name. I clearly state I do not have any of those. I have a given name. I have a family name. All right, so I'd put my given name and my family name on that ID for their convenience. All right. Now, if they decided to associate it with some entity that had a first, last, and middle name, that's on them. Your documentation clearly shows that you had a first, had a given name, and a family name, and not a first, last, or middle name. Okay? You document your height. All right? They're going to want to know when you were born. All right? Well, their definition of born is tantamount to being put on board a ship like any other piece of luggage. All right? So to avoid that, just go back a couple of decades, a few decades, almost a century ago, and people weren't so much concerned about their birthdays. Birthdays were fun and everything, but the big thing that they wanted documented in their family Bible was the day of conception. Well, why was that important? Well, now, I don't necessarily agree with this, but by common law, if you're a bastard, you have less rights than somebody who was born legitimately.
I think everybody was born legitimately.
I tend to agree with you.
Unless you're born in a test tube, then you may not be legitimate.
All right, I tend to agree with you. But well, even the test tube baby, they were conceived at some point. You know, it just happened to be in a test tube. All right. But the thing that they were looking for, was this person conceived by parents in wedlock or not? All right.
Define wedlock.
Well, precisely. All right. Okay. So everybody's legitimate. They just didn't, you know, unless you went to the church and made it legitimate that way, they didn't accept it. All right. So there's some things wrong with common law. All right. But the good thing about common law is the person who challenges it then has, well, all it takes is one person to challenge it and it throws it out.
And oh, kind of like my Crayola idea.
Yeah. No. If you like it, go for it.
Right? Well,
I just pointed out the problems with it, you know. Now, if you weigh 1,000 crayons, I'm pretty sure that the average crayon would be achieved in that. You know?
Yeah.
If you went out and got yourself 10,000 crayons and weighed them, I bet you could establish a pretty accurate standard based on that. There'd probably be no crayon that weighed exactly one crayon. But with 10,000 of them, you'd be pretty sure what that ideal crayon weighed.
One in a million.
Well, but you'd know what that ideal crayon weighed, even if no crayon met that standard. Right? Because, you know, after a while, the averages would build up, okay? So, but that said, okay. So what else do you need on the ID? So instead of date of birth, these people put, one of them put their conception date, all right? And they didn't have it down to the exact day. They just, you know, month and year, all right? My mother tells me I was born in September. Well, what's 9 months before September? So I must have been conceived, you know, January of that year.
Unless you came early.
Unless
or late.
I came early. Or if I came late, then the end of December. All right, so I was conceived on Christmas.
No, it was New Year's.
Happy New Year!
They were drunk.
Well, I think my mom's a teetotaler, so she probably wasn't, but all the same. All right. So.
That's what she told you.
This is true. She told me a lot of things that may not have been true. All right. All right.
She may not even be a real mom.
This is true. And I point this out to people, and they're like,
that might not
even be a
real birthday.
No, I know she's my mom. She told me she was.
That might not even be the real birthday.
And there's plenty of examples of people who were raised by their aunts and told that their mother was their aunt.
Yep.
You know?
There's plenty of people that was stolen from the hospital and thought that was their mom.
Oh, well, there's this too. I mean, you know, they do put those plastic bands around the wrist, but where do you think they started that idea? How many babies do you think got switched in the hospital when they used to keep them in bins side by side?
Right.
I wonder how many times a mama said, you know, this is a cute baby, but I know it's not mine. How's that? I'm not black.
Oh, God.
You know? Oops.
Oopsies.
Just a second. Let me go find the right one.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Catch this tiger by his toe. Okay, that's this one.
Yeah, we must have switched them while we're changing diapers. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Which is another reason why you should have your babies at home Midwife.
Midwife. There you go. I was trying to come up with it too. I couldn't remember.
Yep. Have a midwife. Do it at home. You know? Make sure she knows what to do if you have twins or triplets, you know, colored string on each little wrist so you can tell them apart from each other. Because, you know.
Which one came out first?
Yeah. If appearances determined who the father was, then everybody would be fathered by Winston Churchill.
Huh?
Because babies all are wrinkly and all look alike when they're born.
Oh, yeah.
Except for my first son, who came out with a giant purple banana head.
Banana head. Is that what you named him?
I called him Juju Bean. Because he looked just like a giant purple Juju Bean when he came out.
My kids came out with a full head of hair.
Yeah, my wife only dilated out to 8 centimeters. That's 2 centimeters shy of what the average woman dilates out to.
Yeah, my kids are huge.
And she squeezed them out. And thank God the brains and the skull are very pliable at that time. Because he came out one giant banana head, you know.
Banana even boy.
Even his shoulders got bent down, you know, at a rather sharp angle. But out he came. Out he came.
Yeah.
It was only a matter of, I don't think it was even an hour before his head was perfectly round.
They're like cats that can go through anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, this is a rabbit hole. When your child is born, do not cut or clamp the umbilical cord. I don't care if it takes 2 days. Let it fall off on its own. Because it will.
Right, because it's still receiving nutrients from that placenta.
Yeah. Yeah, as a matter of fact, one of the ways that that nature has figured out, one of the ways that God provided for the baby to get out, is he didn't put all of the body fluids in the baby when the baby's being born. Indeed, some get squeezed back into the placenta as he or she is squeezing out that very narrow hole. All right?
Right.
All right. And if you cut that placenta, on average, when they clamp it off and cut it, a third of the blood is still in the placenta, waiting to be pumped back into the body. All right. You are causing brain damage.
That's what's wrong with me.
And the whole rest of the planet. Because they cut the umbilical cord on everybody. It's so important to do. They even show it in movies where people are born off in the middle of nowhere and the police officer is helping some poor woman in the back of a cab because he got there in time, you know, whatever. And they do the hot water and stuff like that and wrap the baby up in a towel and a blanket to keep it warm. And they clip off, they get some clothesline clips, and they clip off the umbilical cord, and they cut between the paper, between the clips. Idiots.
Idiot.
That thing is actually long enough that the baby can suckle at the mother's breast while still attached.
Yeah, but where are you going to keep it?
Eventually it falls off on its own.
I know, but where are you going to keep it? I mean, hopefully the baby doesn't get, like, it wrapped around its neck and choked to death.
Well, that only happens when the babies breech and that kind of stuff. All right. That's a rare thing.
No, I mean,
thing.
In the crib, you know, it could be rolling around and all of a sudden.
No.
It's tangled up in its own placenta.
The placenta is going to stay attached to the mom. When the placenta finally comes out of the mom, when she has the afterbirth, when she eventually has the afterbirth, all the blood will have been squeezed out of the placenta in the baby by then, and that's when the placenta is pretty well going to fall off on its own.
Oh, so it takes like an hour.
Well, you know, the afterbirth comes out so quickly with humans because we detach it early.
Right.
You know, it kind of has its own brain. It knows when there's no longer a baby attached to it. It says, oh, well, okay, I'm done.
Okay. So I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, animals handle it all the time in nature just fine. You know, how many cows do you see, you know, baby calves do you see running around with even the placenta hanging down from it? Okay?
None.
Yeah, it just doesn't happen. All right? It already detached. You see a cord that very quickly dries up and goes away.
Right, so it won't be very long before it dries up and falls off.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah, as humans, we're just impatient. We've been doing that for centuries, if not longer.
Yeah, I'm very impatient.
And it's stupid. It's like, you know.
You know, I want my cake and I want to eat it now.
If you drain somebody of a third of their blood, chances are they're going to put you up for murder. But that's what they do for every single baby, and it's amazing that so many babies survive that treatment. Anyway.
Well, we got too many people on this planet anyways.
Yeah, even though all of us could fit in the state of Texas and still have plenty of land to grow all the food we wanted, but...
I disagree. I'm sure we can all fit in the state of Texas and destroy it.
Well, yes, we could do one or the other. But, I mean, there is physically enough land in Texas for every human being on this planet to live comfortably. Problem is, we're too lazy to do it properly.
We're too greedy.
Yeah, we're too greedy, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
More than likely, somebody would go over and kill their neighbor so they could have twice as much land for their family. Which is kind of what we're already doing, but, you know, we do it the slow way. We get Uncle Sam to do it for us.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful Uncle Sam.
Yeah, I don't know. What do they call the other countries? You know, what cute little What cute little thing do the Chinese call their government?
I don't know.
You know?
Hiram Abyss.
Yeah, whatever.
That's the Egyptians, though.
All right. Well, I guess I'm more or less done with the ID. But, you know, basically, take a look at your standard ID that the state issues and incorporate that information, but avoid the legal pitfalls when you're doing it. All right? Don't identify yourself as a corporation. Use upper and lower case for your name. Heck, it can even be handwritten. And then and get a passport. Get a passport photo taken and attach it and laminate the whole thing. Before you do that, though, to get the state involved in identifying that, you know, this is true and legit, you go to a notary and you bring with you some witnesses, two or three, and and you use them to identify you. Do not bring a state-issued ID with you. All right, bring in this ID. The notary is going to look at it and compare the information and the name and stuff like that. And she's going to ask your witnesses a few questions. Does he live here? Blah, blah, blah. Yep, that's his picture. Yep. This is a description of him. I don't understand it because, you know, it's given in stones and links and crayons. And I could just see you identifying your eye color by what color of crayon best matches.
Ooh, that's a good idea. Why didn't I think of that?
You did. You just hadn't voiced it yet.
I gotta get to work.
You gotta get to work?
Yeah, on my Crayola project.
Right. Yeah, I'm 22 and a half crayons tall, and God, I don't even know how to estimate how many crayons in a pound.
Oh, Google might know.
How many crayons in a pound? How many crayons does it make a pound?
How many crayons in a pound?
1 British pound equals 29 Czech koronas and 44 halers.
Wrong.
What? What? What did it say? That might be useful. Because that'd be
totally bizarre.
Nobody would know what it meant.
It interpreted crowns as Karuna. Czech Karuna. Karuna. Yeah, so it's the Czechoslovakian weight of measurement.
There you go. There you go.
So,
yeah, so
29.44. 29.44. Hang on, I'm calculating.
Yeah.
29.44 times approximately 165. We'll say 170. I am 39,000 coronas.
There you go.
39,004.8 coronas.
All right.
Don't think I'm talking about the beer.
Probably.
Google, where are you?
Google, where are you?
I just had it up, and now it's gone. Where did it go?
Okay, Google, where are you?
You sucketh.
Oh. All right, so for my serial number, I figured out how to incorporate symbols from different alphabets in my serial number. So I decided to include Hebrew and Greek for the first two letters. So it'd be interesting to see how they react to that.
It had to be this one. So, gray hair. Besides copper supplements, what else should one be taking to eliminate gray hair?
I don't know. I do know that getting plenty of organic copper in your diet, the side benefit is that your hair doesn't turn gray as quickly. Pain relief. Pain relief. Lack of having pain. is the result of having proper amounts of copper.
Okay.
In your diet. So I guess copper is the anti-aging mineral.
Catalyst. If you have a high level of catalyst in your body, you won't have as much gray hair.
Okay.
According
to which catalyst?
According to this website, it says one of the most important ingredients found in the best gray hair supplement is Catalyst.
I have a feeling you're mispronouncing that.
Catalyst. Cat-A-Lace. C-A-T-A-L-A-S-E.
Catalyst.
All right. Catalyst.
Look and see if that has a copper component in it.
Well, there is a link there for it. Let's find out what it goes to.
Yeah, find out what it is chemically.
We don't want no chemicals.
Well, everything's chemicals. It's foolish to think that there won't be.
No, all they're doing is trying to sell me a product. Okay. We'll have to look that up later.
All right.
According to this website, the second thing you want is argan oil. A-R-G-A-N oil. You ever heard of that?
Nope.
Me neither.
Sounds like they're trying to sell products.
Probably. Vitamin B. They're saying B5, but I've read in other deals B12, and then I also says here B6.
Well, you know, I wouldn't turn away from looking at their product, but I'd find out about as much of the stuff that's in it as possible.
Of course. That's basically what I was thinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, then whatever.
Pantothenic acid. Pantothenic acid.
Okay.
Pathetic acid.
Pathetic acid.
No, pantothenic acid.
Okay.
Whatever that is. Biotin. Or biotin.
I think either pronunciation, but I think the second was more common.
Oregano.
Oregano.
Yeah, don't smoke it.
Probably better than smoking the other stuff.
True that. My brother bought a bag of oregano one time. It was hilarious.
You making fun of your brother?
Never. I'm trying to find that Google search I just did. It's gone. It's weird.
You're evil, making fun of your brother.
I don't have a brother.
Is that what your mother told you?
No, well, yeah. So, the reason why I was looking up gray hair stuff, when I went and did my laser hair removal,
yes.
Today I was talking about how I got rid of the dark hairs, but not the gray hairs. They go, oh, well, our lasers don't penetrate the gray hairs. They also won't do blonde hair, only dark hair.
Yeah.
And she was telling me I have to go do electrolysis for the grays, which is like basically $5 to $15 per hair.
Right. But it does get rid of most of the visible hair.
Yeah. Well, I was like, well, why don't I just start taking the herbs to get rid of the gray hair, and then the laser will work.
Yeah,
she goes, yeah, that'll work.
Yeah, because when I shave my beard and mustache completely off, the first hairs to come out are usually the white and the blonde hairs, and they don't stand out. It's not until the dark hairs start coming in afterwards that suddenly it looks like I have some hair on my face.
Right. Yeah, see, my gray hair was growing with the dark hair, but it looked like I had splotches.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell that I actually had hair where the splotches where the splotches looked until after it got longer. And they're like, oh, you do got facial hair. One guy was like, you need some Rogaine or something. And I go,
rude bastard you.
he's an ass. But anyways, I was like, no, I need some root stimulator.
Right.
That's what I said. So yeah, so I was looking up and bought some supplements to work on eliminating the gray, so that I could have a more successful laser hair removal treatment next time. But one of the things that I've been doing is that they talk about is vitamin B12. Says get lots of vitamin B12. B12 will help eliminate gray hair. Well, guess what? With my job, I work ungodly hours, and I'm always on call 24/7. And so I'm constantly, I mean, I practically have vitamin B12 on an IV tap.
Right.
So my gray hairs, I've actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my gray hairs aren't as bad as they were, you know? So that's a good thing. I still got some in my face, but the hairs on my head, you can't hardly see any gray anymore.
There you go. You must have figured something out.
Yeah, B12, that's been helping me a lot.
Okay, I just heard a blip. Was that because you touched a key, or is that because we lost something? I still hear you.
Oh, if we lost the podcast, you wouldn't hear me.
Okey-dokey.
And it's probably my phone.
Okay.
So, anyways, enough of that. So, in my notes, I have sending biodegradable material to the dump and recycling non-biodegradable materials.
Okay. Why would you send biodegradable stuff to the dump?
So that it would be healthy.
Why not keep it?
Well, you would keep some of it. But if you want the dump to be healthy, then you would send some biodegradable matter there too. And not send so much non-biodegradable matter. Recycle the non-biodegradable.
Or better yet, don't buy it in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to be mean to the stores, remove all of the excess packaging right there at the store.
Yeah, but then they got to dispose of it.
This is true, but if enough people do that, they might stop stocking their shelves with stuff like that.
True. Well, a lot of wasted plastics and stuff like that. It's like you buy a bag of, well, there's a reason behind a bag of potato chips. They pack them with air so that whenever they go through the mountains and stuff like that, or not air, but they create enough space in there so that the air can expand and whatnot, so that when they go through hills and mountains, they don't explode. But there is getting to be less and less potato chips per bag. Not that I eat a lot of potato chips. But I've seen other people, you know, talk about it and complain about it. Shoot, I don't even remember when the last time I had a potato chip.
There's only half a bag of potato chips in these bags.
Yeah.
Well,
go buying it.
It's explosion prevention.
That's what they tell us anyways.
Sure it is.
Cereal, same thing. It's getting less and less. Cereal is something I actually buy. Occasionally I'll buy a bag of Doritos, but I don't even remember when the last time that was.
Right.
Trying to remember. Had to be about a year ago, at least. I don't know. Oh, well. Anyways. Yeah. And then, of course, you need a pair of scissors to open the package that's containing the pair of scissors.
Right.
All right, next note. It says here, according to my studies, creatures come and go all the time. When one goes extinct, a new one comes into existence. It's basically just the cycle of life. When your species goes extinct, I'm sure there will be another one to replace us.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's entirely true, because their standard for saying a species has ceased to exist, it's like, okay, they talk about Noah's Ark, it's possible, because there's so many different species on this planet that there's no way they could have packed that many animals on board. And by their definition of species, that would probably be correct. But,
nothing.
They're assuming that kind and species are the same thing. And, well, to give an example I ran across, out in California, there's this little tree frog. And I went to the trouble of tracking down information on it because I wanted to know more about them. And I finally got permission to go through, you know, the library there at Berkeley University, whatever, you know, the college there in Berkeley. And it really doesn't require much permission, but after lots of help, I was able to track down what I was looking for. Somebody had gone to the trouble of documenting thousands and thousands of separate species of this tree frog. Well, I knew something that the person who documented them didn't know. These tree frogs were capable of changing colors.
No
way. They had chameleon characteristics. The person who went out and did the study probably hired 100 college students to go out, and they'd pick up a tree frog and document its colors and then drop it back in the water. And then they correlated all that data, and they came to the conclusion that there was hundreds of thousands of different species of this tree frog, all in a small area.
Yeah.
Well, it turned out that any one frog could shift through a couple dozen of the species that they had documented and could probably shift through all of them under the right conditions. So, what's your definition of a species? All right. The common house mouse, which has been spread throughout the world, has been domesticated. There's still wild ones out there, but there's domesticated ones. And they would classify all the different domesticated ones as being different breeds and potentially species. But the truth is, they're all the same kind, and they can all interbreed. You know? So, you know, we got horses and zebras and whatnot out there. Quaggas, even. Well, zebra is not a separate species. Well, it is a separate species by documentation than a horse. But it's the same kind. And so if you took, you know, five horses, and some of them were zebras, and turned them loose in the wild, they would all reproduce with each other and generate all sorts of different horses and zebras and whatnot out there.
Right.
So I don't know for sure that we're losing species. We might be losing species. We lost the dodo bird. But you know what the dodo bird was?
A dodo.
It was a giant flightless pigeon. It was in the pigeon family. So if you really want to have dodos again, get out there and get on it and start breeding pigeons until you reproduce a dodo.
You dodo.
The dodo is not gone. It just currently isn't in
dodo form.
It's not in expression right now. All right? There may be some time when the Chihuahua goes extinct. All right? I doubt it. There'll always be purses for them to live in, but, you know, hey, sometimes fashions change, and they change for a long time sometimes, and so we might lose all of our Chihuahuas because women decide they don't want puppies in their purses. Right.
Purse puppy.
Yeah. And, you know,
I want a purse puppy.
If that happens, then we'll lose the Chihuahua. But I'm sure somebody will come up with a brilliant idea. Hey, let's breed these really small dogs so we can stick them in people's purses.
Like the Pomeranian.
Yeah, we can
have a Pomeranian would make a better purse puppy because it starts with a P.
There you go.
And it might pee in your purse.
Then you'd have a pee puddle purse.
Right. It'll be a pee purse. Who needs diapers when you got a pee purse?
Oh, my God. Oh, what's wrong with us?
All right. And a word from our sponsor.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I am the sponsor. Offgridsingles.com. Check it out.
Check it out.
Yeah, that's our only sponsor for today.
Is it?
No, Scrap Go Scrap. Check that out, too. That's our podcast for tomorrow.
Right. And there's
starting next week, we'll start doing our podcast on Sundays. We'll start out at 7 o'clock for the Scrap Go Scrap podcast. And we'll have to hang up and give it 5 to 10 minutes and then call back in around 9 for the DD&D podcast. I tried to do the star code to stop the recording and then start it back up again. Didn't work.
What happened?
It just paused the recording.
Just paused it.
Yep. Basically, it didn't leave. there was no quadruple effect. There was no silence. There was nothing. It was just like pause. Okay, then record again.
Okay.
So it's like, okay, I'm gonna do the star code and da 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 da. Okay, I'm back and da 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 da. I waited 3 minutes, but you couldn't hear no 3 minute wait, and blah, 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 blah. So it's like there was no pause.
Well, for shame.
I know, right? So we'll have to hang up, wait 5 or 10 minutes, and then call back in.
Right.
And if that don't work, we'll have to wait longer next time.
Sounds good.
Not really.
We'll make it work.
Oh, I hear you. I'm just playing. All right. Red Towers.
What about Red Towers?
They're red.
Does the doorknob?
No, they're red.
Okay.
Yeah. 50 Shades of Red. Yeah, it's pretty much dead. I don't even know what's going on there. I haven't even been there in a while. Parallel Origin. No habla. Map Your Empire. Pretty much same as Red Towers, but worse. Parallel Dimension. Oh, wait, no. Yeah, Parallel Dimension. No habla. This other one that I was talking about that Hobo was working on. Never heard another word about that. And then Mystera Legacy and whatever game you're playing, Mabinugi. What's that one you told me to download? I downloaded it. I started playing it, but I never really played it.
Yeah, Iruna.
Iruna Online.
Iruna Online. Yeah, it's a 3D game. It's similar to Mabinugi, but it's phone. It's phone-based. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, phone-based, right.
Yeah, and if I could pull up my son's Facebook, there's another game that I'm interested in checking out that's phone, iPhone, Windows, and Apple-based. So
Apple, Mac-based?
Yeah, Mac-based, whatever, yeah. It's
Mac-based.
It's them all. So.
So what?
I don't know.
I'm not getting that pickup truck.
Not getting that pickup truck? What pickup truck?
Talking about getting a full-size pickup truck to pull the campers.
Oh. Yeah?
Yeah. I went and test drove it. My V6 Dodge Dakota had more balls than that did. I couldn't even school the tires. And it's supposed to have a big block V8. I came from a complete stop, stepped on the throttle, full throttle. It was like, it's like driving a four banger. That needed a tune-up.
Ouch.
I know. I was like, yeah, I think something's wrong with this. Like, there's no power or whatever. I'm concerned. Like, maybe it needs a tune-up or something. He goes, well, I don't know what she's talking about. I smoke the tires on it all the time. Like,
well, here's the keys. Show me.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, I couldn't even squeal them. So I think I'll just pass. I'm good. Thanks. Bye.
Right. So he was no good for you.
Yeah, always test drive a vehicle before you buy it. And have a mechanic look at it if you think there's something wrong with it.
Right.
Now, if it was a Dodge, I might have bought it anyways because I'm willing to dump some money in a Dodge, but this was a Chevy. And I'm like, well, you know what? If I'm going to dump $2,500 to $5,000 into a truck, I'm going to get what I want.
Yep.
Basically, it needed a rebuilt transmission and or it had a fuel pump problem.
Yay.
For the retard! All right, what else is on notes? Oh, Agenda 21 podcast. We talk about, or Agenda 21 podcast talks about Agenda 21 like we talk about Dungeons and Dragons.
Yep, yep, pretty much. And then there's also Agenda 31, which I have no idea why they call themselves Agenda 31. But they talk about things like what I was talking about today about the ID. I didn't get through the whole thing, but basically, yeah. You get the point. You should probably listen to their podcast on that subject specifically. But they're mostly trying to work ways. I'm going to turn Joe on to them because, quite frankly, they cross the Canadian border all the time with their IDs that they made themselves. And they get back and forth. Now, I don't know about Mexico, but, you know, Canada. They get back and forth through Canada. And I'm thinking, if you can make your own ID that way, what about a passport?
That would be a passport because you're crossing this country line, crossing the country borders.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I should have named instead of naming my our kingdom in Mysterio Legacy, DD&D. I should have named it the Weirdos.
The Weirdos.
Yeah, that's what I got in my show notes. When we get a chance to build our kingdom, we should name our kingdom Weirdo.
Okay. Why?
I have no idea. It's an old. These are old notes. I'm just trying to get them taken care of.
So you're going through old stuff.
Yep, like this one. My baloney has a first name. It's R-O-N-A-L-D.
Uh-huh.
Ronald, why does my Filet-O-Fish sandwiches always taste like baloney?
Yeah,
that's kind of creepy. I haven't had a filet fish in a long time because, yeah, I always get this bologna aftertaste, and it's kind of gross. I don't like bologna.
Because that's not bologna.
Well, it's probably because it's that horse meat. It's not really fish.
It's not really fish. It's bologna.
It's fishy, but it's not
bologna
fish.
It's a bologna fish.
There you go. That's what it is.
Yeah. You're eating a bologna fish.
Previous podcast. We talked about how women want to make, the same amount of money as guys, but they still want guys to pay for everything.
Well, they want things to change without them changing.
Right.
So, makes sense to me.
Sure. I think the woman should pay for everything.
Uh-huh.
It's only fair.
Get on that. Get on that.
Yeah, I won't.
over.
What do you mean it won't happen?
Huh?
Nothing. I'm giving you a hard time.
I got one friend who I think wants to be my lover. She pays for everything when we go out. In fact, it's like when we go out to dinner, she'll wait till like I go to the bathroom or something, and then she'll pay the bill. And then I come back, and I got my wallet. I'm ready to pay the bill. Too late. It's already paid. What? She thinks it's funny.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, what's the difference between, going back to that subject, because this is kind of leading into this subject, you know, I'm not sure how 100% this is true, but this one woman was doing a video blog on a video podcast on women in the Middle East, and basically what she was saying was that the reason why women aren't allowed to work in the Middle East is because they don't have to pay for anything. It's the man's responsibility to take care of the home. It's the man's responsibility to take care of the children, to make sure there's food on the table. It's the man's responsibility to do all these things, like a lot of women think it's the man's responsibility to do here in the U.S., and if the woman earns any money, she's not responsible to take care of the home and feed the kids. She's not obligated. It's not her responsibility. It's the man's responsibility.
Yeah, I've heard this theory before. I'm not sure how valid it is, but...
Yeah, I took it a little more seriously because I heard it from a woman, but that doesn't mean it's true.
This is true.
But and she was saying that the women here need to wake up, because if they're not careful, the same thing's going to happen here.
Right.
You know, it's like the women want all this money and power, and they want this freedom, but they don't want the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah.
They want the man to be responsible for everything. And it just kind of rang a bell with me, so I wanted to say something about that. Ring my bell, ring my bell.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, wrong bell. What's the difference between Islam and Israel?
Which side of the nuclear bomb you want to be on?
Yeah, they're basically the same people.
Maybe.
With two different beliefs. It's kind of like the Amish and the Mennonites. Except the Amish and the Mennonites don't hate each other.
The Israelis who are there now, it could be argued that they are not really Israelites.
No, they're Canaanites.
They're this Russian group, whatever, that decided that they liked those rules.
Right. They're not a race. They're a nation.
Yeah.
And actually, they're not a race either because, well, they... Yeah, they're not a separate race. Nationality. They're not an ethnicity. They're a group. They're a religion.
Something like that.
So what about Islam? Same thing?
There's African Islams, there's Filipino Islams, there's Arab Islams.
Right. But I mean, like the two brothers, that we're fighting over, and they're still technically fighting over it.
Well, you're talking about the origins of the you're talking about the origin of the two.
Yeah.
Where, Abram was promised a son, and his wife said, "You know, I'm too old to have children. Let my handmaiden do it." You know? And so he did. And they've been fighting with each other forever now.
Right. So her offspring was supposed to be the heir. And then later she got pregnant because that's what God wanted.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
At 100 something.
Right. So she got pregnant and had a child. And then she decided, oh, well, no, my child should be the heir, not that one, because that's not legitimate.
Yeah.
Even though it was her idea in the first place.
Yeah. Stupid bitch.
So, biological child of the husband and wife was the one who actually got the birthright.
Something like that.
So that would be the Israelites, supposedly.
Yes.
And then so Islam would be the other woman's child. And they're off.
Yeah, I forgot her name too, but yeah, she was promised that many great nations would come out of her, and indeed, they have. You know, and they're in competition with basically with their half brothers.
Their half brothers.
Yep, same father, different mother.
So it's a family feud.
Yeah. Yep. And it was the woman's fault.
It's always the woman's fault.
It was the woman's fault.
And they always blame the men.
Yeah, something like that.
Now, I'm sure the guys are just as wrong as the women in general. But, yeah. So whose fault was it, Adam's or Eve's?
Yeah.
Okay, Cain. Okay, Kano.
Yeah, I can be a jerk too.
fucking jerk. You're an asshole. Eat shit. Fuck you. Fucking jerk. You're an asshole. Eat shit. Fuck you. Fucking jerk.
But I have an excuse.
What?
I don't want to touch the answer to that question with a 10-foot pole.
Right. The woman is always right. The woman is always innocent. The woman is always perfect. Isn't that the right answer?
What planet are you from?
I'm from the planet of thy shall not badmouth woman or she shall punish you.
So you're from the same planet as George.
Yeah. Of the jungle.
Well, he doesn't like that.
I know.
What did I do wrong? There we go.
I call it like I see it. Okay. Yeah. I asked an Islam friend of mine, Islamic friend of mine.
Sure.
And that question. And he said, there is no difference.
Really?
He said, there are brothers and sisters. And we're trying to wake them up and unbrainwash them.
Sure he is.
We're trying to save their souls. That's what he said.
Right.
Okay, my next note is DD&D, off-grid organic farming retreat. We sell all natural, non-GMO, organic, heirloom, canola oil.
Do we?
No.
I thought it was hippies.
Oh, yeah, that's what we do. Yeah, we breed, we grow, produce, our own free-range hippies, and we ship them out to California and Oregon and Washington.
There you go.
No,
if you don't
says,
want them, if you don't want them, you have to pay us big bucks.
Because we're giving them to you anyway. So you might as well buy them at discount.
Well, no. I mean, if you don't want them, you pay us big bucks, and we divert the shipment elsewhere to whoever paid us the least.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Now you got it.
Yeah. Sold to the lowest bidder.
Yeah, something like that.
And the highest bidder, for that matter, because the highest bidder is the deflector, so get paid twice. It's like double taxation without representation. So that's tomorrow's podcast. Okay. No, yeah, it says, truthfully, it says we sell all natural, non-GMO, organic heirloom sweet potatoes and more.
Well, yes, we try to make that true.
Yeah. 10 times better than Walmart and probably 5 times better than your local grocery store.
I was actually shocked at what I saw at Walmart.
What did you see?
The sweet potatoes.
Oh.
Everything I pulled out as a reject, it looked like that's exclusively what they were selling.
They sold everything, probably.
Their mainline product was basically my rejects.
There you go.
Yipper yipper.
Getting out of Babylon and moving to the Flat Earth Plateau. That's in my notes. Is there a Flat Earth Plateau?
There is a... Oh, that's not right. Interesting. The Ozark Plateau is actually the Ozark Highlands. Plateau's only a name. The actual landmass is what would be called highlands. Plateaus are flat, table-like. The Ozarks are far from being table-like. It is higher ground.
Except for Table Rock.
it's up and down and all over the place. Well, Table Rock is a lake made in the Ozark Plateau.
Yeah, I know. I was just kidding because you said table.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fine. You know me.
Get down with OPP!
Yeah, something like that.
Well, we got 30 minutes left before we reach our three-hour mark.
Woohoo! What can we fill it with?
I got more notes.
You got more notes? We're in trouble now.
Okay. A previous podcast, David Ray and his heating design will be three times better than the current one, but isn't that what the previous guy said in his design that was a flop?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's all right. I don't really either.
I would like to answer the question, though.
I think I understand it.
It's... Okay, explain it. And I'll...
Okay, the greenhouse has a heating design that was state-of-the-art, blah, 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 and it didn't work. And you say yours can be three times better, but you have no evidence of it actually working.
This
just
is
like
true.
He said his was going to be whatever better, and he had no evidence of it working.
This is true. I will not justify myself with mere words. I bought the 8-inch stovepipe required. Bill's probably going to end up tearing this one out. I will beg him for the parts, and he'll probably give them to me. And I will use them to rebuild a rocket mass heater, and I'll probably use Cobb because that's what everybody else who makes one uses, put it together. I will go to the Amish man that I bought the pipe from and show him what I need and want and get him to fabricate it for me. Shouldn't be that hard. And then I'll put together an appropriate rocket mass heater with those parts, and we'll see how it goes. Now, I'm not sure that it would be appropriate to use a rocket mass heater to heat a greenhouse.
Because it'd probably be too hot.
No. No, because of the way a rocket mass heater heats.
Oh.
Okay. It heats a mass of mud and rock.
Rock.
And you sit on it. You sit on the mass of rock and mud, dry mud, to get warm. So it might be freezing temperatures inside, you know, in the air. But you're sitting on a hot rock, so you're nice and warm and toasty. That probably won't do the plants any good unless you build the bed on top of the rocket mass heater, and then you're going to need lots of water.
Because it's going to dry everything out.
Yep, and that lots of water is probably going to soften up your... It's called Cobb. Cobb is a combination of clay and straw and grit, and it actually makes something that looks a lot like cement except it has bits of straw in it, and it's pretty durable. But if you get it wet again and you're growing plants on top of it, they're probably going to sink their roots down into it and break it up.
And destroy it.
Plus, if you're pouring water on top of it, as the water evaporates, it will carry off the heat that you are storing in the mass, which will defeat the purpose.
Right.
So I'm kind of ambivalent about how well it will work in a greenhouse.
It would work in a greenhouse if you weren't growing anything in it.
Well, yes and no, and maybe. We'll find out. You know, I know that a barrel stove will work. I think it would be best if the barrel stove was on the downhill side.
It is.
But, well, our ideas for how we're going to build the greenhouse and where we're going to put it, and the fact that we want as much of the east side of the greenhouse to be glass as possible, because you want the morning sun. Means that if I put the heat downhill, that'll be on the east side, then the shed that I'm putting the heat in has got to be relatively small. So like maybe 10 by 10. So not big enough for somebody to live in, but just big enough to safely put in a wood stove so the cold air will flow down into that room, get heated, and flow back up to the top. You know, so there'll be circulation. All right? And then the office space and such will have to be built on the west end, because that's the side we want to shade from the sun. You know, if we're going to shade anything, it's the west end. So, you know...
But,
go ahead.
West side! Okay, I'm
yeah. Ideally, I think, though, all the building structure attached to the greenhouse should be on the north side.
Okay.
But we're not going to be doing that this year. We may modify whatever kit we buy to conform with that next year during the summer. This year, we just need to get a greenhouse up and going.
True that.
And if I end up heating everything from the west side, hey, fine. We'll heat it from the west side. The fact that all the hot air will stay up on the west side, well, that may be a problem. I don't know. But the fact that we'll only be doing a 20-footer might help with that problem. You know, so. We'll find out.
Yes, we will. And I'm struggling not to fall asleep. So.
That's it then.
How would you like to conclude the podcast?
Well, tell people how to reach us.
DementedDungeonsAndDragons.com.
All righty. And how might they reach us tomorrow?
ScrapGovScrap.com.
Hey, talking about sleepyheads, you need to re-record your voice message.
Oh, yeah. is the wording good?
Yeah, it's just you're so deadpan. There's no life.
Not like the previous one where I was like, ah!
Yeah, drink about 10 cups of coffee and a couple of energy drinks, and then make the recording. You should be fine.
All right.
That is, if you can keep your finger on the keyboard when you're dialing the number.
I'll have Siri do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Hey, if you decide to make up your own ID, I've got a couple of different formulas here for generating a serial number. If you want, we could even incorporate Japanese letters.
Well,
whatever. You could actually have them mean something, or it'd just be random numbers, random letters.
Well, I already got the first part of the, and actually that might be the only part. But I'm sure I can come up with another part to go with that part. And then it'll be a full part instead of a part.
Yeah, my goal, I don't know if I'm going to do it or not, but I wanted to include Hebrew and Greek letters in the serial number. And but if I do that, I need to know what those letters are. And they say, oh, what's this? I can't read it. You know? So. Like, well, you should know that. You read the Bible, don't you? Yeah. Well, those are letters from the Bible. See that first one there? That's Hebrew. That's a bait. And that second one, that's Greek. And that's a psi. Now, you need me to read the numbers for you, too? Those are Arabic numbers.
Arabic, that's blasphemy.
Well, it's the numbers that we use.
We're evil. No wonder they attacked us on 9/11.
They didn't. That was staged.
Yeah, I know.
I even doubt that any airplane even hit the dang things from the stuff I've seen. But, you know, hey, just call me a conspiracy theorist and you can ignore me.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, you do without calling me a conspiracy theorist. Pretty amazing. Huh? You don't even call me a conspiracy theorist and you still ignore me.
What?
What?
No, I ignore my roommate. Oh my gosh.
You really?
Oh yeah, because he's always rambling on about some crazy crap, and I'm just like, whatever, dude. It's not even worth responding to. He really should be on the podcast. He would make the podcast a lot more interesting, even though it makes no sense.
Well,
he is funny and he is quick-witted. He has a lot of good comebacks. But
yeah, I wonder how much we'd argue about Trump.
A lot. I've even went as far as to become an Obama fan.
I wonder how much you'd hate me for being both anti-Trump and anti-Obama at the same time.
Oh, that don't faze him.
You won't faze him?
Yeah.
Okay.
But what gets, because, you know, he's always like prodding me with this, you know, Obama licks my nutsack thing, and Donald Trump is the world leader, or should be the world leader.
Oh, okay. So he's how do you say it? A cheerleader.
I guess so.
He just says stuff to say stuff.
Pretty much. Yeah. Whenever he says the thing about Obama, I say, well, I don't want to hear about you and your boyfriend.
Now, see, that's ad hominem attack against ad hominem attack. You know, I would challenge him to prove his point. All right, and he was
what that Obama licked his nutsack.
Whatever, you know. Yeah, I'd challenge him to prove his point. Like, well, prove that.
Okay, I'm gonna do that next time. Yeah, prove it.
Prove it. Let's see it happen.
Where's the pictures?
Where's the pictures? Where's the photographic evidence?
I want to see evidence.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to see what he says. I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he thinks Rush Limbaugh is like the best podcast ever.
Yeah, well, you know, that is a matter of opinion, but, you know, again, I'd challenge him to prove it.
Yeah, he listens to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity.
Sean Hannity.
Almost every day.
Well, you know, plenty of fuel for the fire. Plenty of fuel for the fire. And if he does listen to that stuff.
Fire.
Well, yeah, if he listens to that stuff and we're subjected to it here on the podcast and have to put up with it, we would be forced to do as Christ told us to do, be ready to defend our faith, and that would require some study and some knowledge. All right, you know, and basically I would challenge him to defend his faith, and in the process I would have to learn how to defend mine. All right, you know, and defending your faith doesn't mean you break out a baseball bat with nails in it.
Although that's a very good idea.
No, it's not. That's basically what the Crusaders did.
I'm a Crusader.
Yeah, well, you know, Christ would not approve of that way and method.
I'm the Antichrist.
Yeah, you probably are.
Not really.
Let's see, now what happened with this one? Why is it?
Okay, it's 11:53. So this concludes the DDD podcast, Demented Dungeons and Dragons.com, where we talk about everything, including but not limited to Dungeons and Dragons.
Interesting.
So we're going to hang up now and call back at midnight and see if it starts a new recording. Okay?
Okay. It's almost midnight?
It's 6 minutes.
It is. All right, folks. Be sure to call in for the supplemental podcast at in 6 minutes.
Okay, bye.
Bye.